Hello and welcome to Basketball. I'm Sean Woodley.
I'm Katie Heindel.
And today's show is brought to you by Rasheed Wallace, who on this day in 2021 is apparently deep in negotiations to become an assistant coach at the University of Memphis under Penny Hardaway. A big shout to listener Rob Senta, who passed along that nugget of news a couple days ago. It felt worth talking about, even though it's not really an anniversary. It's just something that's happening right now. Katie, are you going to become a University of Memphis Tigers fan if she joins Penny Hardaway's staff?
Yes, and the big cat is right. I love a team that has a big cat as its name, likeness. Perfect fit for Sheed. I have to say I was extremely excited when Rob pointed this out to us, because I feel like this, to me, bodes really well, because I feel like she took his time. You know, he like didn't rush into being like, I'm going to coach now. I'm going to get back into it. You know, he like had some time away and he thought, you know what? Maybe I wouldn't mind to dip my toes back in.
Yeah, his coaching career, while still pretty new, is very interesting. Of course, he was an assistant for 1 year with the Pistons back in 2013-14, I believe, before Stan Van Gundy took over and cleaned house. And it was just a one-year stint with the Pistons. And then he was kind of floating around doing a podcast, hanging out, being Sheed, giving out water to people in Flint. And then this past year, as I think we talked about on the podcast as well, he was named the head coach at the North Carolina Better Best Academy. And, you know, that's like, I guess, an AAU club or whatever it is. I don't really know how American AAU high school basketball works. But either way, he was the head coach there. And now he's moving up to a pretty big program. Memphis has a pretty long history. John Calipari used to coach there. There's, you know, it's a cool little path that Rasheed Wallace is carving out here. And I like that he's kind of, you know, he's like a sampler platter of coaching right now. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, I'll do a little pro. I'll do a little bit of high school, do a little bit of college, figure out what I like the best. It's pretty solid, Katie. I'm very happy for Sheed. I hope he moves on up in the world of coaching. I hope he's back in our lives in the NBA at some point if he wants to do that. Maybe he likes college coaching. Maybe he's going to be, you know, a longtime assistant to Penny Hardaway. I don't know. But that's a cool combo. Very happy for Sheed, and a great way to start off the podcast. Katie, we haven't talked in a week, of course. We've texted and stuff, but this is a long week. I was away. I was out of the province. You are, I believe, still at your cottage hanging out. How's your last week been?
It's been pretty good. I think I was in like an ideal setting for all this free agency stuff. You know, I feel like I could take the news as it came to me, as I kind of decided to dive back in and not just sitting there overcome by it. So it's good. The only downside is I have a black fly bite on my face. So that sucks.
Oh no, that's no fun. Was it one of those ones where they take like a chunk of skin out, or was it like,
no, thankfully it's just gonna, it's okay, just like a little red welt looking thing, gotcha. But it's raising up today. Those things are sneaky, I gotta say.
They are little bastards. They are. I had, I think, the complete opposite level of relaxation when all the free agency stuff was really happening on, I guess, Monday evening, I guess, is when things started, like 6 p.m. on Monday. Mm-hmm. I was in the Halifax airport waiting for a delayed flight and just like refreshing nonstop because I had literally nothing else to do. It was probably a pretty unhealthy way to take in all the free agency news. The Kyle Lowry news came down during that time. You know, you don't want to be in an airport in like a state of distress when that's all happening. I did not enjoy my free agency news consumption this week. I was really hoping, actually, my flight was supposed to take off right around the time of the start of free agency. It got delayed by like 2 hours. So I was hoping like, oh, okay, I can hop on the flight, have no access to internet, just read a book and then land, and then I'll know all the news and it'll be sort of something I can peruse the, you know, throughout the night. Instead, I knew it all before I got on the plane, and then, you know, was sitting there waiting anxiously to land to find out what else had happened and what other doom had befell my favorite basketball team and all of that stuff. So very different experiences, as it turns out, with the free agency. We are going to talk a lot about free agency this week, Katie. Of course, it's the big thing going on. We're not going to go move by move or anything like that, because who really cares about, I don't know, most of the moves, honestly. Like, I don't really care about Spencer Dinwiddie going to the Wizards. Good for him. That's fun. I'm sure they have cryptocurrency contracts in Washington as well, so that's great. I am you know, I think or not I think we are both more interested in just kind of digging into a couple of teams here and sort of talking through some maybe new allegiances we might have based on the free agency moves. We know the, you know, the Kyle Lowry thing certainly sent us for a loop this week. He is now in the Miami Heat. We're certainly going to talk about the Heat, I would assume. But there's a couple other teams that have made interesting moves that we are going to dig into a little bit more in depth in the first segment. And then, Katie, in the segment we're trying out this week, I am so excited. I'm bursting with joy. Summer League is starting. People are headed to Vegas. I'm not headed to Vegas, but I believe you're headed to Vegas, right? Like that's a thing you're doing very soon?
Yes, Sunday. I leave Sunday.
Hell yeah. That's very exciting. And because of Vegas Summer League coming around once again, the NBA world flocking to Las Vegas, we are going to be joined by a Las Vegas expert for 10 tips on how to survive Vegas. And that expert, Katie, is your dad, DJ God himself, Mike Heindel. Oh my goodness, this is so exciting. You're going to take a little break from the pod for a bit while I talk to your dad about Vegas. I could not be more thrilled. This is going to be fantastic. What should people know ahead of time about your dad, DJ God, Mike Heindel, and his Vegas excursions?
He's a longtime Vegas visitor. He has also worked in Vegas for DJ jobs. I worked there with him for DJ jobs. He's a casual Vegas traveler too. He's been there many times throughout his life and his career. He can tell you more about that when we get there. But yeah, and he's a man who loves a deal.
I'm very excited. Again, that'll be the segment we're trying out this week. Tips for surviving Vegas with Mike Heindel, a.k.a. DJ God. It's going to be delightful. We've also got our posters of the week, as we always do. And we should note off the top, this will be our last proper episode for a little while. We're going to be taking a bit of a break during the off season, coming back around September, mid-September after Labor Day. You know, just there's not a ton to get into. And also, sometimes we like to take a little break in August. There will still be stuff for you to listen to, though. We are recording a big Patreon special with Joey Devine from Roundball Rock that you can look for in your feeds later on in the month. We will also be, you know, re-airing old classics from the podcast throughout the month of August too, so you will still have stuff in your feed. You can go revisit some stuff from the past, but this will be the last proper episode for a bit over a month, and we are very, very thankful that you've kind of stuck with us. We've kind of gone straight through ever since the start of the podcast. It'd be nice to have a bit of a break, but we got plenty of fun stuff to get to today before we go on that little hiatus, so let's get to it. Before we get to some free agency stuff, just a reminder, patreon.com/abasketball is the place to go to sign up and get access to exclusive episodes. You get ad-free versions of this podcast, the regular feed every week. You will get access to our Discord channel, first access to things like trivia nights. You get to ask us mailbag questions. It's a good time. So please go to patreon.com/abasketball with two H's. It's $4 US, $5.50 Canadian per month for you to be part of our little community. And we love you all so, so very much. All right, Katie, let's get to it, to the thing we're talking about this week, which is, of course, NBA free agency and some of our shifting allegiances based on who signed where. That's coming up. All right, Katie, let's get into the thing we're talking about this week, which is, of course, NBA free agency. It was a wild Monday evening, a bit of a wild Tuesday as well. Things have kind of cooled down since. There's really only like one thing left to sort out, and it's kind of like how all these deals and signings are actually going to be happening and like the order of them. I guess the Raptors and their Goran Dragic situation is still up in the air, but for the most part, we kind of know where everyone's going to be playing next season. It's just a matter of like cap minutia, which we don't care about, although I am quite excited. There are reports that there's like an 8 to 10 team trade being worked out between a bunch of these teams who are doing sign-in trades. I love 8 to 10 team trades. They're very fun. I don't know if they've ever happened before, but I know there are some like multi-teamers from the past that are just like a wonderful hodgepodge of hilarious names all put into one line on Basketball Reference. I think of like the Hedo Turkoglu sign and trade where the Raptors got him, but also Sean Marion moved in the deal and Greg Buckner is Jerry Stackhouse. I love crazy, stupid transactions. So that's kind of what we're waiting for now. But we do know where most of these guys are going to be playing next season, Katie. And so we're just going to reveal a couple teams that we have maybe shifted our allegiances towards based on their moves in the offseason. I'll put it to you first, Katie. Who do you have as the first team you want to dig into today?
Well, it's got to be the Heat, because the reason I have to say that my allegiance has shifted. One, a caveat that I think you and I had both talked ourselves into Lowry potentially leaving at the trade deadline, and that you and I had also talked about, I think we had sort of dealt with the emotional fallout of that at that time. So I felt pretty well prepared for this departure. It really stings his like 6-page notes, Instagram post. I read the whole thing. Obviously there were parts of that that did hurt, but I'm very happy for him. And, you know, I already was a Heat fan, huge Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo fan. And I think with Lowry, and then, I mean, that I thought was pretty sweet. That already was a team that was like, okay, this is my new team. I've totally shifted allegiances. But then they go and sign PJ Tucker, and you're looking at like the number one pest team. I think like the number one All-NBA pest team in the league next year. They also dumped Kendrick Nunn, which I found fantastic.
Good stuff. Yep.
Yeah. And as you know, I'm kind of a new convert on Duncan Robinson. Just like a guy who's like really taken to heart, you know, what his potential future could be outside the NBA. Got a good head on his shoulders. Tyler Hero, it's the only one I'm out on. And I think Tyler Hero is really going to get to just be gentle about it. His ass handed to him this year by Kyle Lowry. Like, I would love to be a fly on that locker room wall when that starts happening. But also the whole team is going to chew him out, because like PJ Tucker doesn't have patience for that. Mm-hmm. If Jimmy did, he won't anymore, because Lowry's arriving, you know, and Bam is just a sweetheart. So yeah, like I like the weird Heat. I was talking to our friends Sean and Joey last night. They asked me if I thought Kyle and PJ were going to get body shamed by the Heat system. But I said, there's no world. One, PJ Tucker's like other full-time job is driving around topless in a convertible. So like, just get him on a traffic cam and you'll get your topless shot, Pat Riley. But also like, can you imagine going, like trying to body shame either Kyle Lowry or PJ Tucker? One, with PJ Tucker, I wouldn't want to, because he would just like end you with a look, you know?
Yeah.
Kyle would also end you, but with more of like a smirk, eye roll, and he would just leave the room. So I think they're kind of the first players that will be impervious to that system. So yeah, I don't know. Heat merch. I was back on the Heat team store. You know, I love it. I can't wait to get a Lowry jersey and whatever the new weird cotton candy Vice Wave colorway is for next season. Mm-hmm. I really like the Heat, and I really like that it felt like last season they had a bit of a dip in their momentum. And I do think it was because they needed personnel changes. You know, like the way that they got to the finals in the bubble was one of those kind of Cinderella perfect, everything is great, you know, situations. Everything kind of worked out as they needed to be. We talked about this a lot with when the finals happened with the Bucks, but I think they addressed those changes very well. And I really hope Lowry wins a ring there.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to be a team. It's funny, because I usually really dislike when my team plays against the Heat because they're annoying. And it is kind of like I know that's how people felt about playing against the Kyle Lowry Toronto Raptors as well. So it's not lost on me that, like, you know, that's actually a good thing when you're annoyed by a team. And now it's got to, like, the Heat are going to be so annoying to play against that it's going to be endearing. Like, it's going to cross,
I didn't even
like,
mention
back around
Morai
into the circle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like Kyle and Jimmy are such maniacs. They are just like very devilish in the way they go about like their gamesmanship and whatnot. PJ Tucker is just like his own sort of entity, and a delightful one at that. Bam is just like this kind of like wired to win sort of like basketball, like, I don't want to say robot because he's clearly got personality, but like he's like a robot with personality, I guess. Like, he's just like, he's an advanced one. He's just like, yeah, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to get better every year. I'm just going to kind of do the thing and grind away. And then you throw in Victor Oladipo is coming back. There'll be like sort of a redemptive tour there, hopefully with him. You know, again, my mileage on Duncan Robinson varies for sure. And obviously Tyler Hero was whack as hell and like could not possibly stick out like a sore thumb on this roster. But yeah, like the Jimmy, Kyle, Bam trio is as likable and endearing and maniacal a trio as you're going to find in the league. And I think it is like, you know, when I was thinking about Kyle Lowry and the potential of him leaving the Raptors, obviously it's very sad, even though I was kind of resigned to it. It's a bummer. And, you know, I would like to see him play for the team I like more. But if the location that he's going to is this team, like I can, that's going to solve a lot of my sort of emotional baggage with it. I can get on board with watching that Heat team just annoy the shit out of every single, you know, team in the league. And I don't know if they're going to win a title or anything like that. They have, you know, they're still going to be in tough against the Brooklyns and the Milwaukees of the world, but they certainly stand a good chance of just like, kind of like annoying their way to a title. It's like they're just going to grind teams down and infuriate them. And I am just so thrilled that Kyle Lowry gets to go play for a team like that. I'm glad Jimmy Butler gets like a partner in being a freak in Kyle Lowry. Like it all just kind of comes together in this beautiful sort of wonderful stew of like basketball psychosis. It's fantastic. Yeah. I am on board with the Heat, even though I typically traditionally can't stand the Heat and want them to lose. They've certainly won my heart a little bit here. No doubt there. Another team, I guess I can bring my first team up here, Katie. And this is kind of a, I guess other than the Heat, probably the busiest team in the offseason, just kind of doing the most high profile stuff. And I'm curious what you think about them, because it is kind of a different team building philosophy. It is far less, you know, just getting basketball freaks into a room and making them play together. It's more of a, let's get some guys who are kind of maybe slept on, maybe kind of viewed as dudes who kind of cap you at a certain level of success and just put them all on the same team. And that is the Chicago Bulls, Katie. They signed Lonzo Ball in a sign and trade with New Orleans. By the way, I don't know what the fuck New Orleans is doing. They're crazy, ruining themselves. But they get Lonzo Ball. Then they signed DeMar DeRozan for 3 years and $85 million, which was kind of a surprise, but a pretty cool move. And when you think about it, it all kind of comes together into this like very bizarre, but also probably pretty good Bulls team. And it's just nice to see, I think at least, nice to see the Bulls kind of, you know, buck the convention. You know, there's this sort of, I don't know, this is, we talk about this all the time with like the dunk donification of covering basketball and like the hyperfixation on efficiency and 3-point shooting and, you know, multifaceted versatility and all that stuff. And I don't think you could look at any team and say there's like less multifaceted versatility on it than this current Chicago Bulls team, how they've made these signings. But also, who cares? They have good players who are probably going to fit really well together. And I think they can kind of be a greater than the sum of their parts type of team where they all kind of complement each other. Yes, they're going to be probably very bad at defense, but that's totally fine. They're going to score a bazillion points. And it's kind of all these guys who are, again, sort of slept on and sort of viewed as like, oh, you can't win with that guy. Why would you have that guy on your team? Why would you pay him X amount of money? And I think it will be a very sort of satisfying thing to see this Bulls team with LaVine, Vucevic, DeRozan, Ball as the sort of main four, with like Patrick Williams coming up and Kobe White maybe chipping in some stuff off the bench. It'll be really satisfying and sort of a great sort of FU to the typical basketball discourse if they are successful. What is your view on the Bulls, Katie? Like I think they're going to be a truly delightful, strange, probably maddening at times team to watch, but I'm curious what your thoughts are.
But first I need to ask you, are you an Alex Caruso fan now?
That's the one hang up, I suppose. Although he was like kind of endearing last year, I suppose. Like he's got some stuff to him.
Yeah. He's still, to me, he's just like a more, he's like if Psycho T had more, like existed within a human framework, you know, and wasn't so maniacal. And it's interesting to me that on that Lakers team, because like LeBron is clearly like beholden to no one, you know, I don't think I have to say that, like, the Drummond, them trading Drummond away, we'll get to this because I don't want to take it back to the Lakers. But
sure,
it showed me that LeBron doesn't really care about anyone. But Caruso was his, seemed like his only friend, someone he cared about. So I wondered if they had to call him to be like, can we trade Alex Caruso? Can we send him to the Bulls? And he gave him his okay because he's pretty cutthroat. The Bulls are okay. I've wanted them to be good for a long time, you know? Like, they're like the Knicks in that way where you root for them in a weird sense. I think DeMar is going to look great in a Bulls jersey. I am a Benny fan. That's honestly as far as I've thought this through.
More power. DeMar and Benny is a pretty good place to start from, I guess.
Yeah. I'm happy for DeMar. I think DeMar had some like really fantastic seasons in San Antonio. I don't think it was exactly the perfect fit, but I do think he got better. I don't like that a lot of people around this trade deadline I saw were really disparaging him and just saying like, can we admit he's not a good basketball player? Like, I don't think
which
we
is
can,
just fucking ever. Insane.
Yeah. So, you know what? If he wants to go there and kind of be the franchise centerpiece, which I hope this is what this signals, then that's good.
Yeah. It's just sort of a counter to the sort of standard way of building a basketball team that I really like about it. And it's, you know, we're going to spend a shit ton of money in our top few guys, and none of them are going to profile as the typical top dog on a very good team. But like, at some point, when you put together enough really good players, it's probably going to work out pretty well. And like, DeMar is going to have a ton of room to operate. Like, he's going to have LaVine and Vooch and Patrick Williams and Lonzo, like, all around him for shooting. He's going to, again, like, the defense might be hilarious to watch on this team. It might be really, really, like, historically bad, but who cares? If you're scoring a ton of points, then it doesn't matter. And like, guarding Vucevic, LaVine, DeRozan sounds like an absolute nightmare. So I'm rooting for the Bulls. I've never really, like, I've always been kind of anti-Bulls and rooted for them to continue spiraling towards some sort of Garpax-related doom, but obviously Garpax no longer there. They're making smart moves, even if they kind of get derided because they're not like what the sort of analytics crowd would do. That almost makes it even more good to me. So shout out to the Bulls. Katie, do you have another team you want to bring up here as a team that you're fascinated by, intrigued and rooting for, whatever it might be after the free agency madness?
Yeah, I think the last team that I had an allegiance shift for, though it came in two waves. The first was when Russ signed to the Lakers. Then I was more like, well, I'm going to get a Lakers jersey this year, and I had to get my head around that. Like, it's very strange that in this season I will have to get a Lakers and a Heat jersey, but I do. But then the Lakers went and turned themselves ancient, and I love an ancient team. But like, you've got four 36-year-olds, and then with Melo, one 37-year-old. So that is like, assuming those guys at some point all start, I love that starting lineup so much. I liked the ancient team before LeBron defended the ancient team, and then he deleted that post. But you know what? It's true. He's like, yeah, you can make fun of us all you want, but like, I don't know, to his point, they're all still in the league. They're all still relatively competitive. Mm-hmm. I think they have a good chance. Injury is going to be an interesting thing to consider. And I wonder how much of their budget is now going to like expand into physiotherapists, masseurs, post-game, like people offering any kinds of treatments, really like industrial size ice baths, you know? I think they're going to have to really lean into that kind of thing. Everybody's going to be in a cryo chamber post-game. But I like it. They're also going to be just drinking some great wine post-game. I like the ancient Lakers.
Yeah, there's enough like youthful infusion to that team that I think it can kind of balance them out as well. Like, I think Malik Monk is such an essential piece to that roster, just kind of going in and like being sort of like the Dion Waiters, but like maybe a better version of it, sort of to make them all feel young again, maybe give them all someone to like scorn and get angry about. Oh, this goddamn youth, and sort of galvanize the old guys on the team around their displeasure with Malik Monk's youth. Yeah, they're look, I don't know how good they're going to be. Like, they're going to be fascinating, that's for sure. I think they have a chance of, you know, I guess that anytime you have LeBron and Anthony Davis on your team, you have a chance of winning a title. I also think the dynamic of, like, LeBron and AD having kind of figured themselves out and knowing exactly sort of what it is that they need to do to be successful, having a Russell Westbrook-sized wrench thrown into their sort of dynamic is going to be absolutely thrilling to watch. I don't know how they're going to, like, make it work. They, like, Russ likes to shoot a lot and likes to miss shots a lot and likes to, you know, do Russ things. And, like, there's, again, a lot of joy to be gleaned from that. Love watching Russ. It's never a boring experience. And I almost don't even really care about, like, are the Lakers going to win the title? I just want to watch, like, how it all kind of pieces together and the dynamic at play. There's just so many ways this could go horribly wrong, and also a lot of ways it could kind of become this beautiful old guy basketball haven. And that's part of the fun, is the sort of mystery of it all and how it's all going to piece together. What was your instant reaction to the Russell Westbrook trade, Katie? Like, was that stunning to you? Does that feel like an extremely Lakers and maybe the kind of end destiny that Russell Westbrook's been on right now for the last few years, ever since he started bouncing team to team? Like, what was your sort of instant thought on that deal when it came down, I think, on draft night?
I actually don't think I thought of it as, like, a destiny move for him. I was pretty surprised by it. I thought he was going to stick it out. I didn't realize he was having such a bad time in Washington. I mean, the thing with Russ is, since he's left OKC, I've been just hoping he finds a fit somewhere. And if it's with this really weird team, and it seems like it could be, then so be it. mostly, I'm happy for him. He gets to go home. His family gets to be there. You know, like, that feels good to me. I will say, the last thing I found out from, like, a Lakers insider that made me feel better about this team was that as soon as they traded Drummond, Mark agreed to return. So, because I was a little bit angry at first, because I thought, like how, first when they traded Drummond, I was like, well, they spent so much time and effort last year trying to shoehorn him in, you know, and, like, convince us that, like, Andre Drummond was happening. And then Mark got, like, thrown just, like, into the Barons, basically. And I was like, that's a really... To me, that's, like, for someone as noble as Marc Gasol, that's a terrible way that could have been the last year of his career, right?
Yeah.
You know, he left the team he won a championship with. He went somewhere he thought he could actually, like, work, and he wanted, like, the 2-year contract, like, guarantee. And then he was just relegated. So I like that it appears they're doing right by him. But one thing I've also learned about the Lakers is they don't really do right by anyone but LeBron. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm glad too that I didn't realize that was sort of connected to the Drummond thing, his return. And yeah, that was such a discouraging storyline last year, and I'm glad that they didn't kind of stick to the bit, because it really did seem like we got to get Drummond, and then, like, well, I don't know, we have no other sort of flexibility to build our roster, so we got to keep Drummond. And I know you like Drummond. I know some people. I don't really enjoy the experience of watching Andre Drummond even a little bit. And seeing them just sort of do the, well, this guy, like, look at the rebounds. Clearly he's good at basketball. Look at the numbers. And, like, not realizing that Marc Gasol was very clearly the answer to all that ailed them when Andre Drummond was on the floor was fucking infuriating. And just stupid basketball guy shit. And I'm glad that Gasol is back too. Like, I guess he's the oldest guy on the team now. Like, him and LeBron, I suppose, are the two.
No,
I guess
Melo's the oldest.
Jesus, yeah. They're so old.
He and LeBron are both 36. Melo's 37.
Yeah. And, like, Bazemore is, like, the young soul at 32. It's what a bizarro team, Katie. I have no idea what to expect. They could flame out in the first round again, and I wouldn't be surprised. They could rally around the old guy energy, and that would be also pretty cool. I don't really have another team, Katie, I want to talk about. I just, none of the other teams really did anything interesting, I thought. Like, the Knicks, I suppose, did some interesting stuff. They got Kemba Walker. They paid Evan Fournier a bazillion dollars. That's fine, I guess. But the more sort of interesting storyline to me of the offseason was old dudes getting paid and how heartwarming that is. Again, sort of a bucking of recent tradition. And I don't know, Chris Paul just doing really good work as the union leader, having a great season at 36 to ensure all the old guys get paid, I guess. Like, you had Lowry getting a ton of money, Butler at 33 getting paid till he's like 38. You got Chris Paul got the 4 years, $120 million at 36 years old. Like, I don't know. What were your, do you have any thoughts on the old guy renaissance in the NBA? Like, should every player over 30 just get all the money and take all the money from the 20 somethings and just wait till you're 30 and then you can be making that cash? I don't know. It was a fun little story that I did not expect considering the way teams tend to operate when it comes to older guys.
I think the wider arc of it is just, it goes to show how much more longevity there is in in any NBA career. And I think that's generally a good, positive, and cool thing, especially if, like, younger players are going to look at that. You know, like, young players also got gigantic salaries. Trae Young got a huge deal. Like, there were some big deals, like, for both the olds and the youngs. So, but I like it. Like, I think career longevity is an important thing. It's still an anomaly thing. You know, like, those guys getting paid is not what's going to happen to the majority of older players. But yeah, I'm super stoked for them.
Yeah, it's, again, cool and a nice sort of bucking of tradition. It was a very, I think, overall, an offseason that really defied some of the recent trends in the NBA, which I'm glad about. I think more of that is something that would be very much welcome. I think that's a good place to leave off our free agency talk, Katie. We have a wonderful segment coming up as your father, Mike Heindel, a.k.a. DJ God, is going to join me on the podcast and teach me about Vegas and how to survive. I will not be traveling to Vegas, but I hope that anyone who is, either for Summer League or in the near future, as things open up once again, can take these words of advice that are about to come from your father and really apply them when they make their trip down to Sin City. That's coming up in the segment we're trying out this week in just 1 second. Viva Las Vegas! Viva! All right, we've reached the segment we're trying out this week, and this week we're doing a segment called simply Summer League Tips from a Las Vegas Insider. And as promised, our insider on today's podcast is the father of Katie Heindel. It is Mike Heindel, a.k.a. DJ God. Mike, thank you so much for being on the show here to share some tips about traveling to Vegas. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'll be heading to Vegas in March of next year.
Wonderful. Will that be your first time since
before the pandemic? I've been 10 or 15 times before.
Oh, wonderful. Well, this is great then, because you're going to have plenty of tips to share, and I'm ready to hear them all. So you've got 10 tips lined up for us, Mike.
Yes.
I guess the before we get into any of that, you know, your sort of overall view of Vegas as a city. Are you a fan? Obviously, you've been there plenty of times, so I'm assuming, yes, you are. But what's your overall view of Vegas, you know, compared to other cities you may have frequented? What's, like, the sort of overarching thing people should know about Vegas before they go?
Well, the thing to look at Vegas is that there's really nothing like it in the world. It's different. It really is different. And you have to be kind of attuned that, you know, it can't take you over. That's really the big thing, because it'll, you know, it'll want to take all your money and keep you up late at night, give you a few free drinks, and, you know, it's good entertainment. I call it entertainment. That's about it.
Excellent. Well, so let's dive into your list of 10 tips for anyone traveling to Vegas. Of course, Vegas Summer League gets going this week. Katie is headed down there on Sunday. I sadly am not going this year. My hope is to go for next year's Summer League. But let's get to tip number one for all of those hopeful travelers making their way to Vegas, maybe for the first time, maybe for the their second, third, fifth, 10th trip. What's tip number one?
Well, the first one is go to the washroom when you get off the plane. It's important because it's going to take 10 minutes for your bags to come down, if not longer. Uh-huh. So the first thing is, empty your bladder and, go back to the waiting area to see your bags go around.
So you're checking a bag when you go to Vegas. You're not just bringing carry on?
Well, if you have checked a bag, carry on is much easier, but still, if go to the washroom first with your carry-on bag. That's really the big thing, because you've just been on a plane for 4 hours or 5 hours. Because the next thing is number two is you're going to have to get to your hotel.
Yes. Okay. So I'm curious about the sort of mechanics of traveling in Vegas. You get to the airport. Is the airport close to the where the hotels would be? Is it far away? What's the sort of process?
The airport is south of Vegas, and kind of call it the newer part, but everything has been built around it. It's a huge airport. It's got like 3-4 terminals, so it's very large. They get millions and millions and millions. I don't know what the numbers are, but I think it's easily 20, 30 million a year people.
That's a lot of people. And then so the process of getting to the hotel, yes. Are you taking an Uber? Are you booking a car ahead of time? Well, what's the process?
I suggest don't take the taxis. They have crazy Vietnam veterans driving the taxi. It's true. And they're driving as if they're going to a bombing run or something. They just drive way too fast. They're not friendly. You're on two wheels when they're making turns. So the other thing, don't take the shuttles. There's like shuttle buses you could take for like $20 that stop off at different hotels. It's going to get to 10 hotels before they get to yours. So you're stuck for an hour on a bus. So my suggestion is either Uber or Lyft to get to your hotel.
Right on. So you're not renting a car. You're not going and picking up a car for yourself to drive yourself around town?
A car is impractical because maybe a car on your last day, if you can get one to tour around the area.
Sure.
But if you have a car, all the hotels are charging for parking now. So parking's $15 a day. You rent a car for maybe you can get by for $30. Plus. You got insurance, you got gas, and it's not fun to drive on the trip. The Las Vegas Strip.
Right.
They show it in the movies that it's fun when they have car crashes, but.
So you've gotten to your hotel. What's tip number three?
You got to your hotel.
Yeah.
You got to check in. And just be careful, there is something called a resort fee, and it could be up to $40 extra a day, but it only gets you Wi-Fi and maybe a newspaper and a couple little things. Vegas has been really good at not providing coffee makers in your room. I mean, you go to a Red Roof Inn or anywhere in the country, you get a coffee maker and coffee, but no, Vegas wants you to go downstairs, buy your Starbucks, take it back up. So that's number three. Just be careful of the resort fee.
Okay. Moving on to number four, then. And by the way, the resort fee, I think, probably really important for summer league basketball players going to town. These guys don't have NBA contracts yet. They're still making their way. They've not yet gotten paid. That's a really good tip, I think, for any players in particular headed down to Vegas. Tip number four, Mike, what do you have?
Just want to warn everyone, this time of the year, all the way till October, it's hot. It's going to be well over like 40 degrees Celsius or like 120 Fahrenheit. You got to remember, you're in a desert. And bring a reusable container for water. Most of the new hotels have filtered water in their taps. So you can just reuse it that way. So, sure. And just remember, I've got number five here. It's a long distance between, call them blocks, large blocks between Flamingo and Tropicana. It's 3.21 kilometers or 2 miles.
Okay.
And that's a long way to walk, especially when you're in the desert.
No kidding. So let me ask you this question, Mike. What's your headwear situation when you go to Vegas? Are you wearing a bucket hat? Are you wearing
You should have a hat or a cap. I wear one of those Tilly hats with a rim.
Okay. Excellent. Love it. Get the sun. Yeah, that's a perfect hat to wear. So that's number five, the distance between places. It's a lot. It's hot. Those four and five go together. Yes. Let's get to number six.
Number six, don't expect to pop into a casino for a free drink because you're going to stop, play a game. You've lost $40, $60, $80, whatever, playing a slot machine. Try going to a CVS or a Walgreens on the strip for water. They sell wine, they sell beer and snacks, and the prices are a lot less than the $80 you just put into a machine, hoping for a free drink that never comes.
Right, right. Yeah, so I guess I'm unclear. I've never been to Vegas before. I've only been to a few casinos in my life, mostly Casino Lac Limy in Gatineau, Quebec, which is a never go there. The free drinks, like that's just a thing in all the casinos, kind of to get you in the door, basically.
Yeah, but you got to be playing the games. Okay. You got to be either on the slot machines or on the tables.
And what's your preference? Are you a slot machine guy? Are you a card game? What's your game of choice?
I do a bit of both. If I have friends, I'll play a little bit of blackjack. But you lose every time you play one on one. Like if you're playing the dealer,
right?
For some reason, they get better cards than you do. So you end up losing. It's better when you have the cards spread out amongst five players. Your chances are a little bit better. But
I think we just got a bonus tip. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So we got number six, which is don't go and get the free drink in the hotel.
Yeah. Don't expect free drinks because they're not free.
Sure. Right, right. what's number seven then?
Number seven, look for a few specials that are in these newspapers that they will give you at the airport. They're kind of glossy things about the shows that are going on and so on. And sometimes there's coupons in there. I've got a favorite behind Bally's. There's a place called Ellis Island. And it's an older, seedier kind of casino, but they have a great steak, salad, and beverage special for under $10.
Ooh.
Yeah, under 10 bucks, and refills on the beer are $1 to $2. Big beers, like we're talking 12, 15-ounce beers.
Ooh, excellent. Yeah, the NBA players who don't have contracts and are still sort of looking for their first payday, you're really giving them a lot of tips here, Mike. I think that's it's really noble of you. So we've got number seven now. Go find the specials. What's number eight?
Number eight. If you want to see a show, there are a lot of places called either 2-for-1 or half price show tickets. On the day of the show, just go and see what kind of shows are available. They're not going to be the Cirque du Soleil shows, but some of them might be a bit seedy, but it's good entertainment, and you're paying $20, or $40 compared to $100 and something. The Cirque du Soleil shows are just all over $100 if you want to go see. I don't think Elton John's there anymore, but they have a lot of kind of people who've had their time entertaining, and they go to Vegas to retire, like a Tom Jones and whatnot,
I have to ask you then, Mike. I have to ask you, what is the seediest show you've ever gone to?
Oh, I don't know. There was one, I think, at the back of Bally's, and topless women, just dancing like a cabaret. They wanted to make it look like a French, a French place, like something you'd see in France, the Can-Can or something like that. But it's all topless.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. Fantastic. I think we have two tips left, Mike. What's okay. tip number nine?
Number nine, check out downtown. Downtown is the older part of Vegas, and it's fun. The people are friendlier. The machines are friendlier. There's more deals downtown, like $99 shrimp cocktail, I remember, from a few years ago. And the best way to get down there, from the Strip to go downtown, don't try walking. It's way too long. Is they have a bus called the Deuce, which is basically $2.
Okay.
And it's air conditioned and it's easy to go downtown and just check it out. There's people on those rides over the ceiling. What's the thing called? Those things that go.
Zip line?
Yeah, zip lines. They got zip lines over you.
Oh,
and then
there's
a nice show at night. Where the ceiling all lights up and everything else. They have to compete against the Strip.
Right, right. I've heard a lot about downtown Vegas. Just sort of thinking about my own personal taste, it sounds like the thing I would like more than the traditional Strip. So I'm glad that we got that in there as a tip. We're on to our final tip, Mike. What is the final tip on your list of 10 for those traveling to Vegas?
If you have time, a cheap driver, meaning like an Uber or Lyft, or rent a car to see places like Red Rock Canyon. And that's only 30 minutes out of Vegas. There's another place called Valley of Fire. That's about a 2-hour drive. And if you want to spend the whole day, Death Valley is about pack a picnic. It's a whole day to get to Death Valley and back. But, there's no hotels to stay at. It's just like a short trip. Pack some food and some goodies and explore around Vegas. It's people sometimes ignore it, the hills, the mountains.
Yeah. It feels like a pretty good way to just sort of get a bit of a detox from the casino life for a day, right? Like if you feel like you're a little bit stretched thin with your casino going, maybe that's the way to
After Katie's done all her interviews and grab people to speak to, it might be good for, maybe her and a friend to go to some of these outside places, out of Vegas, not too far away. Oh, I forgot the dam too. The Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
That's just south. That's a half a day.
Not so bad. Well, Mike,
I get a bonus.
Thank you so much.
I get a
much.
Bonus. I have a bonus tip.
Please. Please.
Okay. So, the thing to remember that somebody has to pay for these hotels, slot machines, tables, costumes, fancy lights. Remember, the house always wins. So if you think you're going to go win big, I've been in elevators where husbands and wives are coming up to their room and they just said, I lost $5,000, playing for the night. So, also don't use the ATM machines in the casino. The fees are 10%. So for $100, you'll pay you'll pay 10 US.
Oh, no.
Yes. It's a 10% fee because you're not going through a bank. You're going through private companies.
So what's your strategy for cash then? Are you going to an outside ATM?
Well, bring some cash, hide it in your room. You know, actually bring more than you need. Get it exchanged at the at your bank. Bring it there because their fees are crazy, the ATM fees. Since I've gone last, probably the fees have gone up too.
Yeah, you'd bet. Yeah. Just got to make up for lost time during COVID, I suppose. But yeah, you've laid out Vegas, which sounds like a delightful but also somewhat terrifying place. I can't wait to make my first trip there, hopefully next year. Wishing Katie all the best in her trip to, there over the weekend. Mike, thank you so much for being here to fill us in ahead of Vegas Summer League. Yes, this was fantastic.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Hello.
Hi, Katie.
Good tips, huh? Really practical
stuff.
That
was so great. This is absolutely fantastic. I feel like I know everything. I can't wait to go to the topless shows in the back of Bally's.
He's giving me now the newspaper back that he wrote all the tips on, and he says I can take it with me. Yeah,
we should take a photo of it for the podcast, I think.
I did. Don't
share
worry.
It out, definitely.
Yeah.
But yes, please take that with you, Katie. You need the guidance when you go to Vegas. before we get into the posters of the week, Katie, did you have any thoughts to expand upon what your dad laid out there? I know you didn't hear my side of the conversation, but what was your sort of overall impression there? Are you scared of Vegas even more? Are you more excited to go after hearing all that? Or do you feel prepared after those now with 12 tips? We got two bonus tips in there as well. What's your mindset going in now?
Yeah, you got some like great material. I feel like people make you sit through a whole YouTube with video like ads to get some of those tips, you know?
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I think it's like, it was a lot of information. I have to admit I knew most of those tips already. You know, I've heard those before on some of my first trips to Vegas. I also have to shout out Ellis Island because I went there my first summer league with Blake Murphy, Ryan Wohlstadt. Like a few of us went there after the first night we were in town, like the whole Toronto contingent. And I was so excited because I was like, this is one of my dad's favorite places in Vegas. And they were like, we didn't know anyone else knew about this place. So
he
says it's seedy and dark, but it's actually like
friendly.
The restaurant is kind of like a Denny's, but then immediately adjacent the restaurant is a karaoke bar. Like a bar / it's their karaoke bar too. And then immediately adjacent to that is the casino floor, which is smoky and dark and kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. It's a real melange of like moods all at once, but it's sort of perfect. And he's right. It's very cheap. But no, I'm not nervous. The things I'm nervous about, they're not handled in a top 10 tips that are very practical. I'm worried about other people and a virus. So...
Yeah, that's really a good
top
point.
That
yeah.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yes, please be safe when you go, Katie. More than anything else, we can't be having any Vegas mishaps. I'm very excited though after hearing your dad detail there. Like I'm going to replay this segment hopefully before going to Summer League 2022. Getting my first Vegas experience because I have never been. Seems overwhelming and terrifying, but also I feel like I'm prepared now, having talked to your dad. Again, a huge thank you to DJ God, Mike Heindel, for jumping on the show. That was just lovely.
I'm surprised he didn't give you... I'll give one bonus tip, because I'm surprised he didn't give this tip. In all the jobs that my dad's done in Vegas, he keeps the... He'll get like room cards, but it's usually for a utility closet, so he can store his DJ gear or props that he used in his shows. He's retired.
Sure.
But there were a couple of times where he would flash those at the exclusive pool deck bouncers and go be able to go use the pool at the Venetian or some other pretty nice hotels, not actually being a guest of the hotel. So that's a good scam. Mm-hmm.
You're getting a key from somebody.
So, yeah, that's my bonus tip because that – is something that I've utilized with him. And those are some nice pools. If you're staying in a budget hotel, I mean, I don't know how you're going to get a key for a utility closet, but maybe just, I don't know. Maybe that's industry specific.
But I did the dental people. I got their keys.
Well, Katie, it feels like a good time to pivot into our posters of the week after a lovely segment with your dad. That was a ton of fun. Let's get to it, though. The best in social media from the week that was in the NBA. I'm going to go first. Mine's pretty chalk. It's Kyle Lowry's goodbye. Last night I was at a Blue Jays game, my first time seeing live sports in person, feeling very emotional in a very long time. It was a wonderful evening. And then as I was feeling emotions about watching baseball, Kyle Lowry's farewell to Toronto came up on the timeline. And I was like overcome by two walls of emotion. It was a very intense time as I was sitting in section 130D. Thank you to Kyle Lowry for enriching my baseball experience and making me a blubbery mess for a good couple minutes as we were watching the Blue Jays play last night. Katie, who was your poster of the week?
Mine is Serge Ibaka because I saw that he posted himself in a chef hat, and you know what that means. Also, there's a new season of How Hungry Are You coming.
Hell yes, let's go. I gotta say, I think the members of the Clippers who could potentially be on are less intriguing than a lot of the members of the Raptors when he was on. I'll give it a chance. Maybe he'll make Patrick Beverley eat something really, really gross as a way to own Patrick Beverley. That'd be fun. I can't wait for more How Hungry Are You? It's been a long time. There was no pandemic season, right? Like, they skipped production for a year?
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah. Well, I wonder if it was probably pandemic related. And no, I was going to be like, maybe he has to get some friends, but I'm sure he has friends in LA.
Serge Ibaka's got friends. The guy rolls
my
deep,
bad.
I'm assuming. Yeah, yeah. Well, that is going to bring us to the end of today's podcast and the end of the, I guess, first season of basketball. I don't know. We haven't taken a break since we started 66 episodes ago. So we're going to take a bit of a month or so off and refresh and recharge the batteries a little bit. But Katie, it's been a delight. We're not going anywhere. Obviously, we'll have Patreon stuff. We'll have stuff on the feed over the course of the next month. But I really just want to thank the listeners who have stuck with us through 66 episodes and two NBA seasons, or like a bubble plus another NBA season and all that came in between. It was very bizarre, very strange, very new. But it's been so wonderful over the last year plus to be doing the show with you, Katie. Any parting shots here? Anything you'd like to promote? Any last thoughts before we sign off for a month?
No, I mean, I feel like everyone, we did our like kind of year anniversary. This is just us taking a little bit of a breather. And I want to also thank everybody for listening too. It was a fun, now I am talking like it's over. But we did start it when there was no basketball. We got through some really weird times. It's good. Do I have anything to plug? I wrote like a farewell kind of as best I could to Kyle Lowry. That's on Dime. You can read that if you like.
Go read that. Absolutely go read that. You can also go and read your wonderful piece on the Harvard program for athletes looking for careers after sports. It's very, very good. I know you plugged it last week, but still, everyone should go check it out. You can find me, of course, at Woodley Sean on Twitter. Listen to Locked On Raptors every day as we wallow in the departure of Kyle Lowry. It's not really wallowing as much as it is celebrating. We'll be doing a full Kyle Lowry week next week on the podcast, which will be quite nice. Thank you as always. A huge thank you to, of course, producer Dylan, making us sound so great. A huge thank you to DJ God Mike Heindel for making a guest appearance on the podcast. And a huge thank you to our social producer, Nick, as well, who is on with the crew and making great social posts for us as well. So for everyone at Space Monkey Media, I don't know why I'm saying that like we're dying again. Thank you so much. We'll be back again very, very soon in your feeds, and we'll have stuff throughout the next month as well. So it's not really goodbye. It's just see you soon. Thanks. We'll talk to you again in September with another episode of Basketball?